boys and girls. This is Frank in the chair. And what a day to start a new radio fishing. The weather, the water. I mean, I got to tell you, as everything is following around, this is, again, a very, very strange 2016. I don't know what the heck's going on. But luckily for you, boys and girls, moms and dads, ships at sea, ships going onto the rocks, we have one of the possible solution guys for you. We've Captain Bo Johnson here, who's going to help us figure out everything, and let's get right to Bo. Hey, Bo, what's happening, buddy?
Not much, Frank, man. Good seeing you.
All right. Hey, you know, thanks for coming on to Radio Fishing, man. Our studio audience. Oh, they love you, buddy. Look at that.
Gotta great. Love a little applause, right?
Yeah. From our...
Can you turn that up?
Our fine...
There they are.
Yeah. They come in, you know. I gotta tell you, what a great crowd we have in our studios here in downtown Charlotte Harbor. So, Bo's gonna be... coming on with us, helping us get on the water reports and all that. Been friends with Bo many, many years.
Been a long time.
I think longer than either one of us want to think about.
It definitely was. It was back in the hair days. There was only a few of us with long hair, and
I think we were the last two.
I think we were.
We were the last two. We actually met because people would always mistake Bo for me and me for Bo. People come up to me and go, "Hey, Bo, what you doing?" I'm like, "What?" You know, and he's going, "Frank." We finally ended up meeting just to find out who the other guy was.
Exactly.
So we've been friends a long time. Captain, now, Bo is a charter boat captain, fishing guide, and all that. And we're not going to hold any of that against him. I mean, you know, everybody's got to...
Somebody's
got
to make a living, you know?
All right. Bo, tell us about your charter stuff. What do you do?
Man, we do a little bit of everything. We got everything from airboats to backcountry bay boats, run a 24-foot brand new blue wave boat, and then we got an offshore boat too. Got a 28 Parker enclosed pilot house, and so we got offshore, Parker. Inshore, got it all. Oh, it's a great boat, man. It's bulletproof.
I came within a hair of buying a Parker copy. It exactly the same, because you have that massive back area to fish mm-hmm. of the front enclosed cockpit.
Yep,
and this one had a tower on. What do you call the thing on top of the...
Your second station?
Yeah, the second station up on top. A flying bridge.
Yep.
This is what happens when you get old, you know? But it had a flying bridge, all aluminum flying bridge and the whole bit. It was gorgeous, but it was a single engine. And I'm a chicken.
Yeah, dude, if you're going to make the run, make it two. So we got two brand new four-stroke 250 Yamahas on it.
Makes me feel better. I got to tell you, I'm just, you know, because that boat's more than capable of being out there 40, 50, 80 miles. You can go out there, you have a great time. But with two motors, I pretty much always come back. With one motor, I end up at the whims of the gods. Not very often.
Yeah. Hope for wind and hope for tide in the same direction. And hopefully, you know,
that's not
the
my
right
life.
Direction.
That is not my life.
It's not mine either.
Well, let's get to it. Now, by all accounts, every account, everything I know of, everything I can think of, the fishing should be horrible, and it's just not.
No, fishing's actually really good. You know, it's coming off this moon now, and you know, we still got the tarpon, still got sharks, the snook are eating, some redfish schools are showing up, trout's there, snappers here, offshore. I mean, it's all still going on, you know.
And now, does it surprise you as much as it surprises me? With the temperature of the water, the storm activity, the Peace River being at 11 foot, the Coosahatchee still running full steam, shouldn't it be bad?
It should be bad. It really should. You know, honestly...
is there anything about this year that has made sense so far?
Not for me. Not for me. You know what? It's every day, 290 plus days a year on the water, and every day is a new day, and it just, you can go back on what you did yesterday. I did it yesterday on the day before, and completely different. I mean, from across the board, from the beginning of looking for bait to my entire day of fishing, it just, there is nothing the same, but you can put it together every day, and the fish are biting. Some of the windows are smaller.
Now, the trick to it is, is not to rely on what you did the day before or last year at this time.
No.
The guys who are not catching fish, the guys who are falling down on this, to me are the guys who think, well, this is what I did last year or the year before. I think that's what's making them, that's what's knocking them down. You got to have a new plan every day, and you got to say, okay, I'm going to try it here, I'm going to try this, but I'm going to try it this way or that way.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's almost a gut thing. Just got to follow your gut, and when something's not working, don't beat that horse. Just go ahead and, you know, switch it out, change it over, and just go to something else or go to a different area.
I got the droops with that microphone
thing. I hate it when that's an age thing, isn't it?
But anyway, this is kind of the thing that we've been finding out is the guys who are relying on past experience as far as where to go and how to fish that spot are the ones that are having trouble. The guys who are being a little more innovative and saying, okay, well, I did this yesterday, and if they're not here, well, let me try over a bit.
Let's just change it up, you know, run from the west side to the east side, vice versa, whatever. I mean, you know, I hate to think about the amount of fuel I burned on my trip yesterday, but, you know, I mean, I started at Pineland Marina. I went to Two Pines, to the north end of the harbor on the east side, then to the west wall, then ran two different loops. And I ended up, you know, 7 miles offshore at the end of my day. But, you know, if you're not scared to burn the fuel, and you just get it done. So you might have to change it up. And
the difference is when you're running a charter, you can either be concerned about costs and expenses or your customers being happy.
And
these are the two issues you have.
And the one's going to outweigh the other one, because when the client comes back happy, or, you know what, maybe it was a tough day of fishing, because it happens a lot more than a lot of us like it, but it's just fact. But the reality is as long as that client's happy at the end of the day, and he knows when he pats you on the back and says, my God, man, we busted our butt today. And,
right.
You know, it just either wasn't meant to be, or, hey, you know what? You pulled it out of the bag, and I watched everything that went on today. You just can't sit and be at idle and be content with that.
I got to tell you, I had a couple guys out, and you remember back when I was chartering and stuff, and all of a sudden, we're out there, and, crank that up a little bit. One of the things that happened was, I was out with these guys, and it was supposed to be a half-day trip. We're 4 hours out, have not found a fish. Everything's going wrong. The east side is like a parking lot, and I'm looking, and I see a guy in the spot I want to go, but he's in the wrong place in that spot. He's never going to catch a fish there, so I know he's only going to last a little while. So I went around, and so this is four hours and 45 minutes or so into this trip. I finally got my opening, pull in, anchor up, and he was... I had forgotten all about it, but he came back in telling me it was the best day of fishing they've ever had before or after. But I knew that if I could just get a break, I could pull it out. And
that's it.
You're the same way. We've known each other a long time. And it's just being willing to go that little extra, you know, drive the extra 5 miles or 20 miles.
Whatever it takes. Burn the fuel. And, you know, sometimes it still doesn't help. But at the end of the day, you're not stuck sitting there trying to grind out on something that's not grindable.
All right, so now let's come up into the harbor here. You're talking about Two Pines in the east side. What's some good advice to look for around these areas, Captain Bo Johnson? What's your advice to a guy who's looking around? Number one, my first advice is try and get away from the other boats as far as possible. Everybody wants to get up closer to the other boats. The first thing I found out over there, well, they're already making noise there. They're already not.
And if they came in wrong, they pushed them, they went somewhere else, and where are those fish going to go? Or, you know, if it's an area you've been fishing a lot, and then you realize there's a lot of traffic in and out of there or something like that, you got to try to figure out where those fish go.
And to me, when I see the boats, I'm going to look and go, okay, I've been fishing that spot, and I know it's pretty good, but I'm going to look down that shoreline and find something slightly similar. And I'm going to push over to that, because the fish are more likely, once they brought in the boat, yeah, there'll still be some fish there, but some of those pushed.
Absolutely.
Some of them went. So I'm going to look for something a little similar, maybe a few hundred yards down the shoreline. And to me, that's how I find fish when I see a lot of other boats.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, right now with I'm not doing a whole lot of backcountry stuff. You know, here and there we're doing a little bit. I ran a trip the other day, and Tom Fisher hooked a brother up on that trip, got to throw Fishy a little bone.
There is nobody like Tom Fisher.
Dude, he's one of a kind. Yeah, I mean, he really is.
I mean, Yeah, I just don't know how to explain Tom.
And it's easy. It's easy. He's the most likable guy you'll ever meet. And if you go, you know, Tom, I really like that shirt you're wearing, he's going to give it to you.
Yeah, he's just...
That's it. That's Tom. That's Fishy.
Yeah.
That's Fishy.
We call him Fish because there is only one.
There's one. That's it.
There is only one.
I mean, you know, perfect example, you know, some stuff. He's been fishing and everything else. I called him up. I'm like, dude, I got to run a snook trip. You know, I'm running tarpon, sharks, goliaths, doing these things. I'm like, all right, I've been offshore. What do you think? And he's like, oh, man. And, I was fishing here and couldn't find him, and he did exactly like what you're talking about. You know, so I'm gonna have to throw that bone out there to him. Fish bone charters, no pun intended. But so it's always good, and it never hurts to have, people on your side too that can help you out. You know, if that's something you're not doing, for 4 days because you're doing something else, and then you get into it. But you're wanting the current. You're wanting your deeper edges, and a lot of trout up there on that up on the north end right now. Any of your grass flats, we were catching them in 20 inches of water the other day.
Sorry, I don't do well with alphabeticalizing stuff. So.
That was a big word, man.
Yeah.
If we both still had long hair, that would have never even came out of your mouth.
It
would have been something like, I can't spell that.
Yeah, I finally got it. I was looking to get that done, so I remember to do it. But looking for moving water is key. But to me, another little key thing is little bays, little inlets that got kind of a trough in them.
Pockets, points. Something different on a straight shoreline.
Now, what are you finding for fish along the east side, say, Pirate Harbor to Alligator Creek? You finding much of anything?
Snook reds. Yeah. Snook reds and trout.
Now,
that's it.
Some guys were talking about flounder over by Cape Hayes, some pompano, Spanish mackerel stuff. Have you been trying for any of that?
I have not. I have been skipping quite a few pompano, and, that's, from all the way at the south end. All the way about three quarters of the way up. I haven't seen much way north of Pirate Harbor, but south of that, some pretty good nuts, both inside and outside the bar.
Now, you've been doing a lot of shark trips. Where would you say, some of the best shark fishing would be, like off Cape Hayes, out in the Gulf, intercoastal?
It depends on what kind of sharks you're looking for.
Three to five footers.
3 to 5 foot. The north end of the harbor right now is got a pile of pup bull sharks in that 3 to 4 foot range. There's some black tips, some spinners. The schools of jacks that are up there.
20 foot hole over towards the west side, or would you come east?
I would go to the east.
I would go
to the east and maybe even to the north. Up marker one somewhere into that up that loop right there.
Gotcha. Now, is there any bait better than others?
Right now it's kind of a match to hatch thing. So, if you're fishing the schools of jacks that are up there, and there's stuff that is 7 and 8 pound jacks, and then there's the pound jacks, and sharks are on both of them. So, if you can get on a school of jacks, catch a jack, cut a jack, drop it back, you're bit pretty quick. And again, that's mostly black tips and your bulls, smaller bulls. You start getting down further into to the south down there, and into Pine Island Sound, and your lemons and your black tips and your spinners and all that starting to show back up. And then for all my big stuff, I've been bumping offshore a little bit. Anywhere from 2 to 6 miles, depending on what you're on and everything else. And the same thing out there. If you can get on a big bunch of blue runners or mackerel.
Now, up in the harbor here, are you more of a chum guy or just bait and drift or bait and anchor?
If I'm shark fishing, I'm anchoring, unless I'm chasing the schools of jacks or the splinter mackerel or something like that. But yeah, I definitely would just set up anchor, and I believe more meat in the water, the better off you are. So, I got days that I'll, if the mullet's tough to get, I'll buy 50 pounds of mullet for my charter, and I'll run up there, and, plenty of ladyfish up there right now, so you can always catch ladyfish, cut them. But, if you're gonna need 10 to fish with, then I'm going to catch another 20, and they're dying. And,
you're choosing
chunk them and chum.
Just keep throwing little pieces out.
That's it. Cut up one or two ladyfish, depending on the size of them.
You're much more ambitious than I am. I buy a bag of chum, I tie it to the back of the boat.
Right.
I wish I had your ambition,
buddy. Yeah, you know, sometimes you got to do something in between the bites.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
It gives you something to do. You're cutting bait.
Yep.
But,
see, I'm the same way. If I'm going to shark fish, I got the anchor out.
Absolutely.
I want to draw the fish to me.
Absolutely.
Because if I feel if I'm chumming or doing something and I'm not with my chum, why did I do it?
Right. I agree. You know, now, I mean, that's much different than fishing the passes and everything else. And, you know, yeah, I might be drifting, you know, with something hanging off or whatever, but I'm still bringing those fish to my boat. I'm still, most of the stuff that I do is sight fishing.
Yeah, when I'm drifting the passes and stuff, I feel I'm looking for them while they're looking for me. You know, so but I don't do much chumming while I'm drifting.
No. That's why instead of chumming as chunking and throwing, I got something hanging.
Yeah, I
you
just
know, with, you
drop
know, so
out, let them hang.
That's it. You know, whatever, Ray, whatever it happens to be, hang him over the side of the boat. You know, set up your drift, and then you know, and then most of the time you're choosing what you're going to catch. You know, same thing with offshore right now. It's the same exact thing. You know, you're getting on these wrecks and, you know, ledges and, you know, or bait balls of some sort, and you know, if you're on the bonita, get the bonita, hang some bonita off the side of the boat, cut them, chunk them, you know, dice them up. But you're drifting with the fish, and pretty soon you've got everything at your boat.
Right. And to me, now, I'm big J-hook on sharks. I flatten the barb out.
All I use.
I think the whole circle hook thing is a horrific thing because I can't get them out of the fish.
More. I think there's more jewelry left in sharks and species like that because people don't want to. They don't want to mess with it. The D hookers suck.
They don't work on it. So,
but I use a D hooker.
But I can do it with a J hook.
On a J hook. And,
because I nail the barb about half, three quarters, or all the way down, and that way all I got to do is get close to that hook. Once I hit it, it's popping.
Yeah, I've got a D hooker that's actually made up in Tampa, which I need to hook you up with because we need some down here. But I mean, it's what we use in a Madfin shark tournament, and I mean, you can take a 19-aught J hook that say I'm hammerhead fishing for,
right,
and you know, sometimes if we double up on the smaller stuff and I got a big bull shark on and another big bull comes to the boat, I don't want to hook him on a lighter tackle rod because good shot, you're going to get spooled. But, you know, I'll drop that 30 down on it and not doing anything with a barb or anything else. And the D-hooker I use will pop that barb out. But I've nothing against some of the D-hookers out there. I'm not smart enough to work them. This one is money. And 95% of my sharks, they're all set to strike. I don't fish anything on a clicker, nothing. And I don't feed him. When he eats it, normally he's hooked in the corner of the mouth.
Right. And I'm kind of the same way on him. I'm not big on that, but I've gone to J hooks. I use, but I bend the barbs.
Right.
I'm just started doing that 20 some years ago. We all have our own thing. The main thing to me is I had to get away from circle hooks because I don't like leaving anything else in a fish that I don't have to. Sharks, they eat live stingray, for God's sakes.
Yep.
I can't tell you, there's been several sharks where I've pulled stingray barbs out of the roof of their mouth for them.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
I've seen jaws that are done that actually have stingray barbs through the jaw.
Yeah.
And they're still in there, you know. So, I mean, it's, you know, so the hook doesn't bother them. Yes, they're going to keep eating. But if you don't have to leave no jewelry, man, get the hooks out.
Yeah,
if you don't
want to
get the hooks,
a little bit of respect.
If you don't want to get the hook out, don't fish for them.
And the thing is, get away from the darn circles.
I agree. And don't feed them. Don't leave it on clicker and let him run for 45 seconds or any of that.
Yeah.
Fish are going to be hooked in the corner of the mouth. Hook ratio's up. It's across the board a better situation for you and the shark.
Well, and that's what it's all about, because the one thing as a charter boat captain, people forget that we have to think about is we have to do this again tomorrow and mm-hmm. hopefully the next year and mm-hmm. hopefully 10 years from then.
Yeah.
You know, we're always looking towards, you know, 5-10 years to the future. How can we keep all this going, do as little damage, you know, keep everything working, and, you know, we don't expect it's going to be there. We know if we don't work at it, it's not going to be.
I agree.
So, you know, that's one of the reasons guys like you and, you know, Tom Fisher and Danny, and I mean, there's just a whole group of everybody, and you can always tell who I respect and who I don't, because why would I have them on the show if I don't respect them?
That's
my
that.
Show.
It's your show. You can really do what you want. You know?
I do whatever I want
right,
to.
Right.
You know. So anyway, Now, when you click the thing, it says Tenacity Guide Service. Click that, take you right to Bo's page. And what's your best advice? This is Monday. We're recording this Monday morning, or Monday afternoon now. So if somebody's going to go out this week and they just want to go out and catch some fish, ladyfish, trout, jacks, whatever, any good advice for the average guy just want to go out and have some fun?
Man, I tell you what, you know, I've been using the little wacky jigs, any kind of a spoon.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, anything like that's working really great. There's school, like I said.
Wacky jig is your silly jig, which is a banana jig.
Exactly.
Banana jigs. Okay.
Banana jigs. Yeah. So, you know, they work great. They pretty much catch everything. You know, your pompano, they catch it all.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, that's like what we were just talking about, like what you brought up, that the day-to-day is so different. Day before yesterday, from Two Pines to the north end of the harbor, was solid ladyfish, solid jacks, mackerel.
Yeah.
Yesterday, from Two Pines up there in the morning, there was nothing. There's still ladyfish out there. You know, some you got to chum to get them coming up if you want them for bait and so on. But, you know, it's real simple. Just look for your birds, and as long as the tide's not slack, you should
gotta
have a great day.
Got to have moving water.
Got to have that moving water. And, you know, and there's some really, really, like, you know, between, you know, halfway at the south end of the harbor, halfway across in the center out there, you know, by Pirate Harbor Hole, any of that stuff out there, I mean, with some really, really nice mackerel. So anybody that's got the smoker needs to go this weekend, you know, smoke mackerel.
Now to me,
it's freaking awesome.
Smoked Jack Crevel is the best smoke fish I've ever
really
had. That, to me, is number one.
Well, see, now we're going back to the long, long, long-haired thing, because I've never eat a jack.
That, to me, is the best smoked fish out there, because it's nice, consistent flavor.
Right.
It holds up to the smoking well. There's no real bloody part and not bloody part. Spanish mackerel is another great one to smoke.
No, I'm going to have to try
but
Jack.
It.
I'm not going to tell anybody
Jack
that
Crevel's
I smoked
actually
Jack,
better.
But I'm going to try it now.
It's actually better. And do you know the reason there's not many is because it's one of the number one food exports. They're a very high-priced fish, and I know you do some commercial fishing, or used to.
Yep.
And very high-priced fish.
Yeah, you get a lot of guys are, you know, looking for those pound to 3 pound jacks right now and stuff like that.
Considered a delicacy everywhere but Florida.
It's funny, like a mullet, right? It's like, you know,
to me, the best eating fish ever on the planet.
Fried mullet.
Is, but it's got to be flayed out with no red in it.
I agree.
I hate smoked mullet because I hate that red strip in it. It's too gooey. Don't like it. But that's where the difference on to me is the jack and the mullet.
Yeah.
Jack's even all the way across.
Yeah.
The first bite is as good as the last bite.
Exactly.
So
I'm going to have to try that now.
Well, this is a transplant redneck thing. I was too dumb to know better.
Right. So you did it on accident
because
and found out it was good.
I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do it.
Oh,
so there are benefits to being dumb.
Well, there is. You know, normally when you show up to the fillet table and there's 20 people standing around you going, dude, I've never seen that before. That should tell you. But if it's good, you know, I got a buddy from Louisiana sent me a picture the other day, had a flatbed trailer full of giant sail cats.
That
and I'm
is
like, dude, what are you doing with those?
Just
sit there. I caught him. I'm like, really, man? I'm like, what are you doing with that? You guys fertilizing like farm fields or something? He's like, you got to eat one. I'm like, I ain't eating that, man. He's like, it's the whitest meat.
It is flaying just the tail, leaving the head and ribs intact, flaying just the tail out, getting the meat off the skin. The safest meat to eat in Charlotte Harbor is sail cat, because the slime coating is the epidermal layer on a fish. You think anything's getting through the slime on a sail cat?
Man,
no bacteria is getting through that.
Now, this is interesting to me, Frank. Now, like, I mean, I'm going to throw this back to when one of our first phone calls was when I called you up. And I'm like, dude, what's up? And you were very, very excited because your seahorses had babies.
Yes.
Yep. I remember that like yesterday. And like I said, both of our hair was way longer. And, you know, and now you just come off with the dumb transplanted redneck. And now you're talking about really large words and how bacteria can't get in. So I'm gonna call
once the hair went, I actually had to get involved.
I mean
I had an excuse back
but
then.
Yeah, everybody just looked at us
my
like
habits,
we were stupid.
Yeah, my habits and everything. They just looked at me and went, okay, well look at him, he don't know anything, and I was able to get away with it. Once you cut your hair, you in that you get that where people expect you to be smarter than you really are.
Yeah.
But it's really true. Now, the only thing about eating sail cat is they get dry easy. When you put them on the grill, they tend to get really dry.
Right.
If you can deep fry them, they're excellent. Beer batter, they're excellent. If you're going to put them in the grill, it's got to be with something to keep the moisture up. So it's a lot of basting.
Brine them or something.
Yeah.
Brine them.
Anything where you can keep that moisture level up in the flay. But you know how sea trout, black drum, red grouper, they have that parasite in them?
Mm-hmm.
Sale cats have the same thing. But it's just like with the black drum and the red drum. Red drum don't get the parasite, black drum do. Even though they're close enough in species, they can actually mate. Hardheads and sale cats.
Again, hardheads. He's coming off with some stuff I did not know, man. I'm learning all kinds of stuff walking in here today.
A hardhead, the short fin one, never has the little parasites in them. Which is actually one that grows up and leaves the fish and goes on to attach to sharks and stuff. But I forget who was telling me all about that. But the one thing about the hardhead is they're inconsistent in flavor. That's the problem with the hardhead. You're going to eat a few and they're, wow, they're great. And then you eat a couple of, and then you eat one that's, it's nasty.
Really?
Yeah. So
it's like getting that last pistachio out of the bag and it's the one that, it's got the bad taste to it. You're stuck with it.
And largemouth bass have that same kind of funky to them every once in a while. I used to eat bass all the time, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get a few that have that kind of, I don't know, that weird flavor. And there's nothing wrong with them. It doesn't hurt anything. It's just as a weird flavor. And right. Hardhead, same way. But
interesting.
Gaff top sail cats are becoming game fish in, I think, two or three states now.
Yeah. Tell me this.
On the Western
Tell Gulf. Me this, because I remember when when I was younger, we used to dead bait for tarpon down south, and we used to catch gaff top catfish that were giant.
Yep.
Why aren't they giant anymore? Because I got pictures when I was little. I mean, like legit, looked like something you pulled out of the Missouri River.
Right. Big, huge ones. They're 30 inches long.
Absolutely, 30, 35s, 36s. I mean. You
a
know,
lot of fish, what happened was just a few years ago, we had a bad catfish virus go through. Killed thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of the catfish all died.
Right.
And they're just not old enough yet.
That's interesting. So, I mean, I've been here a long, you know, pretty good while now. And I, as much dead baiting and shark fishing and everything else that I've done, I haven't caught a big guy. And it's kind of weird we're talking about gaff top catfish on this.
Well, they're one of the great fish in the area. Everybody puts them down, and especially when you're fishing with a kid. When they catch a catfish, it's the best fish that ever was landed. It's the most exciting
at that
fish.
Point, yeah.
Because that gives them, the worst thing in the world is somebody go, oh, you got a catfish. Right. Then the kid's disappointed he caught a fish.
Right.
I mean, I want to smack them, you know?
Right.
Every fish is exciting. And I love sail cats because they fight hard, they pull great, they hit anything. Top waters, lures, artificials.
Yeah, real pain in the butt tarpon fishing out there
right
now.
You got it. The worst pain in the butt out there. And for us, they're just annoying. But when you got kids in the boat, always remember that is the greatest
fish about the
ever
kid.
Swam.
It's about the kid. You know, I mean,
it's all about the kid.
You know, I got a family that I fished, you know, a couple times a year, and we've been fishing them like 5 years now, and I've watched the 3-year-old that's now 8 and so on and so forth up, and I think the oldest was like 14. And every trip is shark fishing. Every trip shark fishing, but you start to trip out your mackerel, your ladyfish for your bait. That way they get to catch a bunch of fish, but then they can catch a really cool fish.
Remind me to tell you something after the show's over.
All right. But okay. You know, you sit and when you're, you know, when you're doing that stuff right there, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the kids just like catching. So you know what, it's great to go try to fish a school of redfish with your kid and everything else, and that's great if they're going. Wait till your buddy calls you and tells you, hey, I got them going, come catch a couple or whatever. But to go spend half the day and the kid doesn't get to catch anything, that's really hard. So I think ladyfish is an underrated fish.
Poor man starving.
It's an absolute blast for kids. They jump, they pull, they eat. I mean,
do you know, that Jack Revelle would be the number one most protected fish in Florida if they learned to jump? Can you imagine if they knew how to tail walk? If they could come up, go across the surface, you would never be allowed to keep another one. They would be the most protected game fish we have, because nothing pulls like a jack.
Nah.
If you could crossbreed a jack and a ladyfish, Oh my God.
That'd be pretty sick, dude.
That would be the number one fish in the world immediately. That much power with the jumping and fighting capabilities?
Absolutely.
Wow.
That sounds like a trip right there. Yeah. See, now that's back to the long hair days. Now we're gonna breed ladyfish and jacks. Yes. We went from gaff top catfish to that's it. Hey, whatever it takes, you know?
Well, that's the one thing about radio fishing. It's kinda like when you come to our fishing clubs, you never know what you're gonna hear. But I've never wanted to do a scripted show.
Nope.
We have a scripted show that we do, which isn't really scripted, but it's a place-by-place fishing report. And what Bo's going to be helping us with is more weekly updates. We're going to be doing a lot of phone stuff with him, you know, whether it's 2-3 minutes or you know, half-hour show, whatever happens. But I guess I know you're busy and you don't get many days off. So anything else we should go over there, Captain Bo Johnson?
Not really, man. Come on in here to Fish at Frank's. Buy some tackle. That's what I'm doing.
Hire Captain Bo. Go out and catch some fish.
That'd always be nice. Inshore, offshore, whatever you want to do. Brings, you know, you're doing a meat trip or do a fun trip.
That's the best thing about it.
That's it. But fishing's great right now, man. You guys just get on the water and enjoy. Be respectful to other people that are on the water. And have at it, man. Have a blast.
Well, that's Captain Bo Johnson. And like I said,
in the crowd,
studio audience, look at them all. Loves you, man.
All right.
Anyway, as we get into this, here we go. The producer's got it up. And this is Fish and Frank in the chair. And Captain Bo Johnson in the chair across. Goodbye to everybody.
Y'all have a good one now. Appreciate y'all tuning in to Fish and Frank's.
Okay. We're going to be back probably, hopefully, a little bit later today. Robert and I are going to do an area fishing report. So if we don't get it today, we will get it first thing in the morning. I promise, boys and girls, as much as I can. So, anyway, we will see you on the next Radio Fishing. Thanks again, Bo.
Appreciate you having me.